This morning's lesson is taken from John chapter 9. One of the studies that I like to do in the Bible as we read through it is look at the individuals who have left examples for us. And we find, I think, very powerful lessons, some things that we can relate to and allows us to maybe make application more so than with other situations. And since they're biblical examples, I think they're very good for us to look at. And this morning's lesson is about the blind man of John chapter 9. And within this lesson, within this text, and we will read John 9, so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. It's rather lengthy reading, and we'll read it in segments, but we're going to spend almost an entire amount of our class or our sermon this morning in John chapter 9. But we're going to learn about the blind man himself and how he reacted to Jesus. We're going to learn about the Pharisees and how they reacted to Jesus in this particular circumstance. And then we're going to learn about the blind man's parents and how they reacted. And as I mentioned, I think there's some very variable, valuable lessons as we look at these three people, as it were, three groups of people, and how they reacted and how they responded to the things that they saw, the things that that were spoken, and the things that were done. So beginning here in John chapter 9, and I'm going to read out of outset here through verse 12. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoke, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. And he went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is this not he that was set and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes open? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. I went and washed, and I received my sight. And then said they unto him, Where is he? And he said, I know not. So as an introduction to this lesson this morning, we find this event where Jesus heals this blind man. Blind from birth, everyone knew it. He was well known in the city. And Jesus makes clay, and if you'll note, it's going to be of interest throughout this. This was happened on the Sabbath day, and we're going to find this out as we study here, which is going to be a real problem for the Pharisees. It's just one of the groups we're going to talk about. And so, out of all this, Jesus heals this man of a blindness, and he goes and he tells his friends about it. So, the first thing I want to look at here. Let's look at what the Pharisees and how they responded to this, because immediately what happens is the Pharisees find out. So we'll continue our reading now in John chapter 9, verse 13, and just verse 18. They brought unto the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. And then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. And they said unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? And he said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, and he had been blind, and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they continued on to verse 24 through 34. This is continuing the narrative here that the Pharisees and how they responded. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, I was blind and now I see. Then said they unto him again, What did he to you? How opened he your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you do not hear. Why will I tell you again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know God spoke to Moses, but as far as this fellow, we know not where he's from. The man answered and said to them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from where it is, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if a man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And the answer said to him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and thou dost teach us? And they cast him out. Wow. So this man is born blind. It's kind of odd that they took him to the Pharisees. And in all rightful case here, his neighbors and friends, they were probably astonished. They probably recognized this guy's from God. Blind man said, This has not ever been done before. This man has to be from God. And so they take him to the Pharisees. But the Pharisees have a real callous response, don't they? The Pharisees don't want no part of this. Because see, in actuality, the Pharisees are the ones that are blind here, aren't they? The Pharisees are the ones that are blind. Look at how they responded. In verse 16, therefore says some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath day. They were blind. This man just opened the eyes of a blind man from birth. And you're going to say, he's a sinner. Obviously, I don't want to listen to him because he broke our traditions. Because they had made all these rules about the Sabbath day, how far you could go. Made all these rules about how to clean pots and wash and stay cleansed as a Jew. All these traditions. Remember back in Matthew chapter 5, all those statements Jesus said, but I say, you have heard of old time, but I say unto you, they had traditions. We're not talking about God's law. We're talking about traditions, how they perverted God's law. They were blind. These Pharisees doubted the miracles performed, and rightfully so. I mean, okay, you say, well, this man was blind. You need to investigate this. It's never been done before. There's logical reason for them to be questioning this. But we see their response goes beyond the sheer analytical decision-making process of whether he was blind or not and how he sees. They were blind because they refused to see that Jesus was from God. In verse 18, it says, The Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind and received a sight until they called his parents. Then they believed he was blind. But they still didn't believe in Jesus. He says, wait a minute, guys. He just performed a miracle. They were blind. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see past their traditions. They could not see past their traditions. In verse 32, as the blind man said, since the world began, it's not heard that any man open the eyes of one that was born blind. No man could have done this. And the Pharisees knew this. The Pharisees and the Jews knew that one that was born blind could not be healed without God. And God was capable of that. So we see that they doubted the miracles performed. At the outset, you think, well, they had reason to doubt it. But in the end, there was no doubt that this man was actually blind. We also see that they did not believe Jesus was from God. Jesus just healed the blind man. And you look throughout the whole New Testament, how Jesus, the Gospels, how Jesus responded to mankind, raising the dead, performing all the miracles on the lame and forgiving sins. This man wasn't from God. He wasn't from God. Could not have been from God because he broke the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. He made clay. He spit in clay and made some mud and put on his eyes. And because of that, he was deemed a sinner. Well, that was their traditions. That was tradition. They knew that if they had an ox in the ditch, they was going to get it out. They was going to water and feed their cattle. There was things they did on the Sabbath day that were approved. But healing was not approved. Healing was not approved. I mean, among other things in the Gospels, we find they respond. But in this case, we see they did not believe Jesus was from God. Verse 14, the point about it being the Sabbath day, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, and that was their entire reasoning was upon that one so-called sin. This man could not be from God. Verse 16, and it says there again, this man is not of God because he keeps not the Sabbath. And then, of course, some of them recognized. Some of them said, how can a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division. But we find all in all, they didn't believe. Verse 24, They called the man in again and said, "Give God the praise. This man's a sinner." They still didn't get it. They didn't want it. But they were truly the ones that were blind. They didn't believe Jesus was from God. How else could a man have his eyes restored except he be from God? It's what the Pharisees missed the whole New Testament. Throughout all the Gospels, these men were of God. And then, who is this man who's a sinner? Come tell us and preach to us. Who is this man to preach to us about what's right and what's wrong? Right? Remember, and he started out, and I didn't spend any time on this, in the first part of chapter 9, his disciples asked Jesus in verse 2, "Who sinned, this man or his parents?" So there was, I will cover this in another lesson someday. The Jews had this idea that if you had something wrong with you, it was a direct response from a sin or something you did in your life. So this man was born blind, and his disciples asked, who sinned, his parents or this man? And, of course, the answer Jesus gave there, if neither sinned. So the Pharisees would have had this same mindset the disciples had. He had to have sinned. This blind man had to be a sinner because he was blind. And they accuse him of that. And that's that passage in chapter, in verse 30 through 34. Looking there again, as the blind man preaches to him, in verse 30, here is a marvelous thing, and you don't know where it's from. In verse 32, since the world began, this has never happened before. No one has opened the eyes of one that was born blind. If he were not of God, he could do nothing. So he's preaching to them. And they responded, verse 34, and they said to him, "Thou was born in sin, and you teach us." Who are you to teach us? Who are you to tell us what's right and what's wrong? They cast him out. They had enough. Cast him out. They're done with him. They were insulted. Just look at the pride that the Pharisees responded with here. Who is this man? It's not whether he's right or wrong. He's presented a case and done it well. But it didn't matter to them. They were blind, wouldn't they? They had a veil over their face. They could not see. They could not see. They were blind. So they were insulted. They were also deliberate and combative. And this is the most astonishing thing as you look through here. Verses 20 through 23 is a reference. We're going to talk about the parents in a minute, but let's look at what the parents thought about these Pharisees. His parents answered them and said, "We know this is our son. He was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opens his eyes, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself." Like I said, we're going to talk about these here in a minute. In verse 22, "These words spake his parents." Why? "Because they feared the Jews. The Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he would be put out of synagogue." A blind man just did that. Guess what? He just got cast out. The Jews had already determined that whoever confessed that Jesus was Christ would be put out. They would be cast out of the church of that day. Their church, their family, their church family, they would be separated from for confessing that Christ. Even though they had a miracle right before their eyes, that they see that this man was blind, and now he's not, and the passage indicates they believe now that he was originally blind, now healed. They were just downright deliberate and combative. They wanted no part of it. In verse 34, where they cast him out, as we look over in John, a page or two over your Bibles, there was this policy that the Jews had, is stated there for us as well. In John chapter 12, verse 42 through 43, and this is a summary of what the parents were dealing with, what the blind man was dealing with, what the neighbors were dealing with, what Jesus and the disciples were dealing with. John chapter 12, verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." The Pharisees were combative. They wanted nothing to do with truth. They wanted nothing to do with God. They didn't do nothing with righteousness. All they wanted was their kingdom, as it were. Theirs, mine, their authority, their status, their pride. And that's all that they had. They were deliberate and combative. Now, and of course, as we look at these, look at lessons from each of these groups, we can be this way today. I don't know that too many people that we find in the church so much of this way. We got to be careful, though. We don't need to have the blindness that they had and not believe that Jesus is God. The miracles are here. We can't deny those things. We can't be insulted by men who bring out something to us that is true. We may look and pick apart somebody and say, well, he's got this problem over here. He has his what he has to say has no weight. We talked about leadership this morning. And leaders get put in sometimes at a very high standard, and the leader is going to be the one that is targeted at all times. Satan will make sure of that. And so we can't take and look and say, well, this guy's got a flaw, therefore I don't trust or believe anything he said. We can't do that. These men, they found something to say, well, I don't have to consider what he said. I don't have to think about what he says. I don't have to believe what he said. I'm a Pharisee. This guy's a sinner, obviously. No, we got to be careful about that. And certainly being deliberate, their heart was not in this. Their desire was not to serve God. By all means, we need the heart, and their heart first desire to serve God. And that'll help with the other. That'll help if someone comes to talk to us about a problem. We won't get caught up in their problems and overlook what they're trying to talk to us about. So we got to be careful not to fall in the category of the Pharisees. We'll be careful about that. Let's go on and talk about the parents now, because I think parents is probably where we all going to struggle in life. We've talked in Bible class about peer pressure. Well, if there was a case of peer pressure, this is it in the Bible. This is it. As we've already read, John chapter 9 here, verses 18 and through 23. Notice verse 19, the Pharisees asked the parents, saying, is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see? And notice what his parents says. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and he was born blind. But by what means he sees, we don't know. Or who's opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. That's the perfect example of someone I'm not going to be committed here. movies have a lot of little cliches or sayings that kind of stick with you. I don't know if you've seen the movie Oh Brother. One of my favorite scenes in there. They're standing there, all three of them chained together. One guy says, I'm going to go this way. In their chains. The other guy says, who made you, boss? I'm going to go this way. What did the third guy say? If you've seen the movie, I'm with you, fellas. There's no middle ground with God. There's no middle ground. The parent says, go ask the son. Go ask our son. He'll tell you. He knows. His parents knew. It was their child. It was their son. But they were afraid to confess Christ. They want it to stay neutral. They want to stay out of it. You guys go fight your battles, do your thing. We just leave us out of it. We don't want to be no part of this. We don't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. Our friends and our families there. That's what the inspired writer says. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, to the point we made a while ago in chapter 12, that they be put out of the synagogue. Don't ask us. We don't know anything. He is our son. We'll admit that. And he was born blind. We'll admit that. But we're not going to say anything beyond that. There's no middle ground to being a Christian. There is no middle ground. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, turn here if you want, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father which is in heaven also. And then over in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, a few pages over. I'll read that one as well. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus makes a statement there. He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters abroad. There's no middle ground. There's no middle ground of God. There's no middle ground of Christ. We must profess and confess Christ. His parents knew that a miracle had been committed. Her son had been healed of his blindness. And they just didn't want to stand up. They wouldn't want to stand up and take the punishment. Didn't want to stand up and take the rebuke that was going to happen. They just wanted to be at ease. They wanted to be safe. They wanted to be secure. They wanted to be accepted. And is that not what we have to deal with today for the most part? We really, really have to watch that. We have to be prepared to confess Christ before our friends, before our neighbors. We know these things happen. We know he was the Son of God. We know he's coming back someday. He's going to have judgment upon this world, on those who don't believe. We don't need to stay noncommittal. We need to commit. And finally, the great example for us to follow, is that of the blind man. I think for the most part, we've read all the texts we need to read now. My first thought, if we look at the blind man, Jesus made mud out of clay. I would guess the blind man couldn't see that. But I got to think, the blind man's thinking, what are you doing to me and why? Right? He's putting this stuff on his eyes. In the first the chapter where he heals the blind man, does he ask questions? Does he say, well, this river is too dirty? How about a cleaner river, a more prominent river? Remember Naaman? He wanted a better river to go cleanse his leprosy in. No. What did it say he did? Verse 7, he went his way therefore and washed and came seen. There is no indication he delayed, he didn't tarry. He went and washed in this pool, just like Jesus said. I don't know what authority he knew of Jesus, what he knew of Jesus before that hand, but he didn't doubt, he didn't question it. There's no response other than the fact that he went and did. Because of his faith, because of his action, and because of the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his sight was restored. He performed exactly what Jesus instructed. I don't know why today it's so hard in the religious world that we get hung up on baptism. Jesus commanded it. The apostles commanded it. We see them doing it. We can think and reason all the reasons why we may not want to do that, and so many other instructions in the text. The blind man just believed him and went and obeyed him. And that was it. Not only did he do that, but he did exactly what Jesus says there. And he goes and he recounts it here. He said, a man is called Jesus, so he knew his name. He anointed my eyes and said to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I went and I washed and I received my sight. As it says there. Then when he's asked in verse 17, they said to the blind man, again said, he is a prophet. So the blind man said he was a prophet. He believed Jesus was a prophet, obviously, because at this point he knew that Jesus could work miracles. So he had to be from God. He did that. But he performed and did exactly what Jesus said. He spoke without hesitation or reservation. As we see, as he dealt with the neighbors, there in the first part of the chapter, in verses 8 and 9, the neighbors came and said, is this not he that sat and begged? And some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But the blind man said, I am the blind man. That's me. He's not trying to hide. He's not running scared of the Pharisees. He says, nope, that's me. I was blind. I'm healed now. I have no reservations to confess that. And even before the Pharisees, he knew, he had to know the Pharisees' instructions. His parents knew it. All the Jews knew it. They'd be cast out of the synagogue. But here he stands before the Pharisees in verse 15 and said, verse 15. He put clay on my eyes, I washed, and I do see. And then verse 17, he tells the Pharisees, he is a prophet. He didn't hesitate to tell them exactly what he knew. That this was Jesus, as he said, and what he did. He confessed and professed that to them without reservation. Even when he preached to the Pharisees there in the latter part of it, as he got the Pharisees badger him there. The blind man even asked him, will you, in verse 27, will you also be his disciple? And he says then to him, there is a marvelous thing that you and you do not know where it's come from. He's opened my eyes. He spoke without reservation. He proclaimed the truths that he knew. Let's read on down a little bit further than what we read so far. Verse 35, and Jesus heard that he had cast him out. When he had found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered, says, who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? His progression now, he's fixing to find out who the Son of God is. He didn't even know that yet. He didn't know he's a Son of God. He knew he's a prophet. That's all he knew at this time. Look what he says. Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him? That's his response. who is he that I can believe? He didn't start asking and crawdad and saying, well, maybe if I meet him, if he says the right things, or if I spend some time with him. And no, he just immediately confesses, who is he that I may believe? Who is he? He spoke without reservation. In verse 38, well, let me go ahead and read 37. And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. That was it. What a great heart. One who truly believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who did not let the surroundings around him, the people around him, affect his belief or his thoughts or his speech even, as it is shown here. He immediately believed, obeyed, he confessed Jesus, as we just read. He didn't hesitate to do that. He's going to get thrown out of the synagogue. Actually, he was already thrown out of the synagogue at this point. That already happened in the previous verses. Lord, I believe. And he truly did. What a great, great story. And we see he did not fear man. There was repercussions for his comments, repercussions for his story. Repercussions for what he had to say and said to the, even preaching and teaching as he did, that's what I'm going to call that, when he spoke to the Pharisees. He explained to them the Word of God. He reasoned them from Scripture and from what they know about God. No man could do these things except he be from God. And he reasoned with them about it. He didn't fear them. He wouldn't fear being thrown out of synagogue because he knew the person, what had happened, and the one who had healed him was more or was greater than the men he was facing in that trial, if you would call it that. He did not fear them. He spoke the truth. And finally, he was persecuted. He was cast out of the synagogue and ridiculed and all that we see happen here. But we see one who replied with faith, with trust in God, as a pure and honest heart will and can do. Jesus asked him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he says, who is he that I can? And that was it. May we be like this blind man and be concerned and care about and understand the fallacies and the pitfalls that come in from having the attitude of the Pharisees and not seeing Scripture, what Scripture says. We can't look and say and judge people and say the message is not good. The message is true. The message is right. It will lead us to salvation. If we have the belief of the blind man, we can be saved. If we have the belief of the blind man, we will grow spiritually and be the Christian we need to be. And if we're like the parents, we kind of want to stay in the middle. We don't want to be committed. Because we're fear. Maybe we fear people. Maybe we fear our family. Maybe we fear our friends. Those all things can affect us. But as we see, the blind man didn't let those things happen. We need to work to be more like the blind man if those things concern us. So our lessons, that Christ was from God, even though the religious elite of the day refused to accept him. Sometimes that happens. People in our lives that we see, we may think are religiously or are religious, but they may not be right. And Christ, in this case, Christ was from God. And the religious elites were not from God, and were not professing God's will. There are consequences for confessing Christ, but there are far worse consequences if we don't confess Christ. Christ will confess us before our Father in heaven, but he will deny us if we deny him. There will be judgment for those who do not follow his will. Those who do not love him and seek to do his will in his life, there will be judgment. I think we see humility gave sight, but pride and loyalties brought about blindness, or blinded those. We've got to be careful about those things. Pride can blind us as well. As well as unrighteous loyalties to people we should be loyal to. But humility, the humility of the blind man, gave him sight. And I'm not just talking about the fact that he could see the world again, the fact that he saw that Jesus was the Son of God. That was a sight that he had. Human tradition can distort our view. That was one of the problems. We talked about several today of the Pharisees. One of the problems was they had their traditions. And they said, this can't be right because of our tradition. They didn't believe Jesus because he healed on Sabbath day. So, guys, wait a minute. He just performed a miracle. He has to be from God. Your estimation of the Sabbath, what we did wrong, is need to be evaluated. This guy just performed a miracle. What we should question is not the miracle. We shouldn't question the person. We should question why our standards are wrong. Because obviously they were. So human traditions can distort our view, and they can as well for us today. That's why we hold true the Bible and claim it our only guide for authority today. And we spend time in it, studying, searching through it, learning the truths within it, making sure we're right, making sure we're on that right path. Jesus said the way is broad that leads to destruction. It's easy to go there, but it's difficult and narrow that leads to everlasting life. If you've not started on that road yet by the act of baptism in which your sins are forgiven, they're washed away, by confessing Christ, we ask you to come this morning to make that confession. Your sins will be washed away. Become a member of the Lord's church. Become a saint. And then begin that walk. And if you've begun that walk and you stumbled along the way and you've made mistakes and you need to make those things right and you need our help in that regards, won't you come and make those requests known as well? We'd be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Do what we can to help you on that road that we're all trying to travel on, that we're all trying to stay on, that leads to heaven eternal. So if you're subject to our invitation's call this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?